telling the handsome young man to come up and leave the service. I thought she was talking to me. We just celebrated our 42nd anniversary, and I just knew she was talking to me. Praise God. It's good to be in God's house tonight. Amen. Appreciate all the songs that have been sung. You know, heaven is going to be worth the journey. Amen. We've got troubles and we've got trials on every hand. Sister Sarah was talking about that. Hallelujah. And, you know, sometimes we're ready to press, and other times we're ready to roll over and go back to bed. You know? But I appreciated the testimonies tonight and the exhortations tonight, the coming of the Lord. I can remember, Brother Kennard, I was just a young boy. And I know that kind of television you're talking about, revealing my age a little bit too. Praise God. But I remember that. And we actually were over at some friend's house. And when that was going on and when that rocket was launching. And I remember that vividly. There's a lot of things I can't remember at all, but I do. That made an impression, you know, in my mind. Praise the Lord. So I trust these Serious Servant Institutes make impressions in your mind, you know, and that they will benefit your walk, my walk. And tonight we're doing a servant's attitude number two. We're going to do several on a servant's attitude in this series. And so there will be several about a servant's attitude. But tonight, we're going to be talking about the attitude towards God's Word. And once again, this is Serious Servants Institute. The Lord laid this on my heart to begin. When it will end, I have no earthly idea. Amen. It may change names and continue on. Because we want to be serious about serving Jesus Christ, especially as we see the day approaching. Now, I mean, the Bible encourages us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And then it makes a statement, especially as you see the day approaching. So now that lets me know that I will be able to see that day approaching. That no man knows the day nor the hour, but the Bible is very explicit. We will see the day approaching. And so I want to be serious about serving the Lord. Brother Lucas, you're right there. Oh, you already did. Well, I wasn't paying a bit of attention to you. Anybody pass out pens? Weston's on it. Well, wow. Man, I've got some efficient workers here. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. All right. So he's got it up there. You're already filling in the blanks. Amen. We've got some that do a race to see if they can fill in all the blanks before they see it. See if they can remember the scriptures if I start reading it and they don't see it. Well, they look at their page and they start filling in the blanks without even seeing it on the screen. That's all right. You'll remember it better. Praise God. Hallelujah. So School of Ministry, once again. Brother Lucas was exhorting, talking about everybody's got a part. We've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is letting people know about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Letting people know about the goodness of our God. Letting people know about what God's done for us personally. Hallelujah. We all have the ministry of reconciliation. Sometimes we don't want that ministry. We want one with a little more glamour. We want one with a little more excitement. We want one with a little more prestige. And thus nobody does the ministry of reconciliation. Nobody's telling anybody about Jesus. Nobody's telling anybody about how Jesus is working in their lives. They're too scared to death. They might be called a name or awkward or, You know those situations. Awkward, you know. It's not awkward to tell somebody about Jesus. It is your duty. Hallelujah. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That's your part to play, my part to play, everybody's part to play. Praise God. Is share the goodness of an almighty God. And so that's what the Serious Servants Institute is about, so that we are equipped and prepared for that ministry of reconciliation, that school of ministry. That's why we've also subtitled it that. Amen. And so tonight, the scriptures that I've put on this handout is found in 1 John chapter 3. Verse number 7, little children. That's not just talking to like Weston's age, you know. It's talking to you and I. Amen. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. That is talking about Jesus Christ is righteous. And those that do righteousness are righteous also. Hallelujah. And he's talking about the reality of imitating Christ, the following Jesus Christ, and the reality that when I follow Jesus Christ, righteousness is what I'm in pursuit of. Amen. In 1 John chapter number 4, verse 17, herein is our love made perfect. And Lucas made reference to that. Evidently, that was in your Sunday school lesson this morning, about the love of God and the perfect love of God casteth out fear. Well, here's another scripture. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, talking about Jesus Christ right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ right now, our high priest, Jesus Christ right now, who's been given all power in heaven and in earth, as he is, so are we in this world. Once again, speaking of his righteousness, and our love is made perfect. In other words, the reality is our surrender is up to date. That's love being made perfect. Our surrender is up to date. Hallelujah. I'm loving him today. Hallelujah. It's not an experience from yesterday. Those are wonderful. We remember them. I remember being born again by the Spirit of God. I remember being baptized in the Holy Ghost the first time. I remember these great experiences in my Christian life. I remember the first battles I fought. I remember the first times I failed. I remember those things, but I'm pressing on. I'm pressing along. I'm headed for glory land. I'm not living in the past. I'm living in the present and headed for the future. That was a little preaching just on top of the teaching here tonight. But anyway, praise God. But our love is made perfect, and that thus we're not afraid of the judgment. We're not afraid of the coming of the Lord. Why? Because perfect love casteth out all fear. I know I'm right with God because I know I'm surrendered to God. I know I'm doing what God's asked me to do. I know that I am right in the middle of the will of God for my life. That's love made perfect. Hallelujah. That's why there's no fear, nothing but joy, nothing but peace, nothing but power. Hallelujah. And that's a lot of times why you are attacked by the enemy, because you've got it going on. You're living for Jesus. He don't like it. He don't like it at all. He hates you, and he hates you with a passion. It's one thing to hate something, and it's another to hate someone with a passion. You know, God hates sin. I hope you do too. I hope you hate it with a passion. Praise God. Because if you do, you won't do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because love's made perfect. That's why we'll have boldness in the day of judgment, because we hate sin with a passion. Hallelujah. We don't hate the sinner. We hate sin. We don't want it in our lives. We want to pursue a life with Jesus Christ where that's not there. Sin's not there. So we're dealing with attitude again. An attitude is a position assumed for a specific purpose. I want you to think about that. A position. In other words, a position is a place, and you're placed there for a purpose. Specific purpose. You and I are here tonight for the purpose of training. To be taught. So we want to make sure we become teachable. Praise God. That's not even in the notes here, but praise God. A settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. So basically, attitude is the directive for how I live my life, my behavior. That's kind of the good side, the good attitude. The bad attitude is eager or quick to argue or to fight, aggressively defiant, uncooperative behavior, a resentful and antagonistic manner. So in other words, a right attitude or a good attitude is one that is affecting my behavior in a right way, a good way. And a bad attitude is I am rejecting anything good because I don't want it. And thus it shows up in my behavior. Hallelujah. So tonight, a servant's attitude towards God's word. You'll notice KJV out there beside that. That's God's word. Amen. These paraphrases and these newer versions are not the ones God has put his hand on or his signature upon. But he has put his signature upon the King James Version Bible by all the things. Brother Jason brought it out one night when he preached about the very center verse of the Bible and the very center chapter of the Bible and how everything was this far and this far, and it all just, wow, lined up. Wow, did you catch that? Did you hear that? Did you see that? That's got to be God. It only happens in the King James Version. Those things don't happen in these other versions. That's right. There's just enough to realize God's hands on that King James Version, so we need to hold to it. We need to hold to God's unchanging hand. Woo, hallelujah. And the King James Version has stood the test of time of God's hand upon it. Hallelujah. Men and women died, gave their lives so we could have the King James Version Bible. They were burned alive by the Catholic Church. Sorry, it's just the history of the thing. Because they wanted to live for God and not for the Pope. Sorry. You know, it's just the way it was. And they literally murdered them. And they said they were heretics because they wanted to put God's word in the hands of the people. Wow, I don't know how we got out there. I guess because we're talking about God's word. That's how we got out there. And so we see in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So, the right attitude towards God's word is that God has inspired it, and it is to show me the right ways and instruct me in righteousness so that I can be perfect before God and truly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, God's word is the very pattern of my Christian life. It's God's handbook. It's God's instruction manual. Amen. It's God's word to show me how to put my life together right. Amen. Hallelujah. And of course, I'm notorious to get a piece of kit furniture and just throw the instructions away and go to putting it together. I'm notorious. But when I became a Christian, I realized I can't do that with God's word. I've got to cling to it and I've got to pull it close to me, because without it, I will not survive. Without it, I will not be victorious. Without it, I will not go forward. I won't be able to press along. But you notice that it's good to for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Now we got to be careful, because we don't want to get a wrong attitude. Well, I ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live my life. Oh, really? Bad attitude. Woo! Because the right attitude is, God, show me how to live my life. Because I don't know how to live my life. And the only way that's going to make my life be lived right is by your word and by your way, by your spirit. Hallelujah. And so we find then our attitude towards God's word is that it is given by inspiration of God. God's hand was upon it. God inspired it. Notice that it said all scripture. Once you understand at that point in time, the majority of scripture they had was the Old Testament and a few epistles written by Paul and Peter and the different writers. And so we see now we have all the epistles that were written by men of God. We have the Old Testament that was written by men of God. And you and I have one of the greatest treasures on the face of the earth, God's Word. Hallelujah. Whereby we might know God, be instructed by God, know God's way, know God's character, everything about God. It's there in the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not your opinion that matters. It's not of a private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Notice it was holy men. That means that it was men that had consecrated, dedicated, committed their entire life to God, to do whatever God wanted done. You go read, you know, the prophets, and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah. You go read about all the calamity they had to go through. And a lot of them were prophets of doom because they had to share with God's people their sins and the judgment of God that was coming. And they were not highly accepted at all. But yet they were inspired by God and used by God, amen, to write the things God wanted written down. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Notice that it wasn't by the will of man. In other words, their desire wasn't to promote their own ministry or make their own movement or get their own following. Their whole desire was really not to talk about what God wanted them to talk about. You go read the prophet, most of them didn't want to share the message. They knew what the end result was going to be. They knew they was either going to be thrown in prison or beheaded or killed. You know, they really didn't want to do it. And you go read the story of Jonah. He even ran from God, and God had a great fish waiting for him. You can't outrun God. You might as well quit trying. You might as well surrender it all and get right with Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, God's got a way. Hallelujah. Of opening up our blinded eyes. We talked a little bit about it this morning. Amen. But God's word is there for you and I to be strengthened and encouraged. So the right attitude of a servant's life towards his word is it is my life source. I mean, it's everything to me. It's just like Jesus Christ is everything to me. That means his word is everything to me. If you say Jesus is everything to you, but his word is not important in your life, then Jesus is not everything to you. You know, when we say Jesus is everything, we take literally everything. His word. Number one, he is the word. He was the living word. And everything in his word is a reflection of him. And everything the Holy Ghost of God is going to lead you into is not going to be contrary to his word. Because it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the triune God. They're all one. Same purpose, same desire, same holiness, same righteousness. They're one. You and I are to be one with Jesus Christ. Same holiness, same righteousness. Oh, praise God. I mean, that's what the Word is for, to bring us into that oneness. And the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, uses the Word to minister to us, to show us the way. Praise God. And so that's why the Holy Ghost was involved when it was written. And now the Holy Ghost is involved when it is ministered. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, 2 and 3, it says, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Talking about when the children of Israel were coming out of the wilderness. They'd come out of the land of Egypt. They had rebelled against God. And God let them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And now they're coming out of the wilderness again. And God led them the 40 years in the wilderness. And here's why they went to the wilderness. To humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Your life is depending on God's word. Hallelujah. Not just your daily bread, not just your daily food. That's, you gotta have that for physical life. But spiritual life is God's word. And I made a statement this morning, the reality, if I neglect, you know, if I'm absent from the Word, I'm absent from the presence of God, and the definition of evil is the absence of God, I will automatically go into evil. Because if God's not there, that's the path I will naturally choose. And so being in God's Word, having those times of devotion, having those times of prayer, being in the house of God, being in the presence of God is what keeps me from evil. Wow. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Glory. That's what keeps me from evil. That's what keeps me from being selfish. See, they wandered in the wilderness to humble them. Amen. Praise God. I just want you to notice Deuteronomy 8, verse number 3. When Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness by Satan himself, Satan said, "Turn these rocks into bread," because he had fasted for 40 days. And Jesus replied to him, "You know, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord." That's the word of God Jesus Christ used against the enemy. In context. Hallelujah. What was Jesus saying? "Devil, I don't need bread, because I've got the Word of God abiding in me." Hallelujah. Did he eat bread later? Sure he did. He fed 5,000. He fed 7,000. Hallelujah. And there's baskets all left over. I mean, he wasn't against eating. He was just very, very serious about putting the devil in his place with the Word of God. Hallelujah. You have no authority on your own against the enemy, but you have all authority in heaven and in earth through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what the devil needs to hear coming out of your lips is the Word of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what God gave Sarah. I mean, she had planned out her whole bad day. Anybody else done that? I mean, things start going bad. You just start planning out the day. It's going to be bad here. It's going to be bad here. It's going to be bad here. And I understand that. I've been there myself. But then God's word comes along, and it begins to remind us he's in control. Hallelujah. And we just begin to submit and fall in, give him praise, give him thanksgiving, and then he begins to renew our minds. Praise God. "But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another." And I made reference to this morning. "In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen. Glory. Did you notice here that the connection between the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly and singing and worshiping and praising? But not just, you know, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. When you're singing, basically what are we doing? We're singing God's Word. We're singing God's Word. We're singing God's truths. When you're singing it and making melody in your heart, you're hiding it in your heart so that you don't sin against God. Hallelujah. That scripture's coming in here. Amen. The next scripture, as a matter of fact. Hallelujah. But notice it said Psalms. We're fixing to read a whole bunch of Psalms. Amen. Why? Because the Psalms exalt God. The Psalms exalt His Word. The Psalms will lift our heart. The Psalms will renew our minds. The Psalms will bring us out of our depression. The Psalms will bring us out of our mully grubs, you know? Because they start lifting up God. And when we start lifting up God, we start realizing it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. So our first psalm tonight is Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God, or sin against thee. Hallelujah. So once again, the key, God's word. Where? In my heart, in my mind. Amen. In my inner being. Hallelujah. Knowing God's word will keep me from going astray if I'm a serious servant of God. Hallelujah. Now, just knowing the word won't keep you if you're not serious about keeping the word. See, there is an allegiance. There is an attitude. Hallelujah. There is a way of thinking that must be in our lives, that Jesus Christ is first and foremost. And thus, if He's first and foremost and we've given control to Him, then we are very, very, very interested in what His Word has to say about our lives. Amen. And that's how we will be deterred from sin, knowing what God's Word tells us. Praise God. So, Psalms 119:47. I will delight myself in Thy commandments, which I have loved. In other words, love made perfect here. That's a theme of this day also. So I'm finding my delight, I'm finding my joy in God's Word because I love Jesus Christ. I love God's Word. I love God's ways. And so love is made perfect by a right attitude towards God's Word. Psalms 119:72. The law of my mouth, or of thy mouth, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Riches, they're not wrong, but the love of them is the root of all evil. It's what the Bible declares, the Word of God declares. But I want to hear what God's got to say. And I want to know what God's got to say more than I want gold or silver, more than I want riches. I want to know what God's ways are. Psalms 119:101. I will refrain my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Amen. Serious about departing from evil by doing the word of God. Psalms 119:103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Amen. I found, as I was studying this, I found several references to the fact of how God's word is sweet to your taste. And I found several references, I don't know whether you remember, in the book of Revelation, where John saw the angel with the book, the little book, in its hand, and he was told to go eat that book. And it would be sweet in his mouth and then bitter in his belly. And I found several references in the Old Testament where God told the prophets to eat his words and that they would be sweet unto them. But then when they went to preach them, it was not going to bring acceptance by society. And the correlation there, and of course we believe in the book of Revelation that that little book was God's word. You know, that's what we teach, that little book was God's word, because it's sweet to the new man, but oh, it's bitter to that old man. And the old man doesn't like that. Old Adamic sin nature doesn't like God's word at all. You know, and if we get to walking after the flesh, we get a bad attitude towards God's word, and we try to call it fallible. We try to call, oh, it's got errors in it. Oh, well, you know, there's so many versions. And I mean, you can have all kinds of excuses of not loving God's word. Well, that's the flesh. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, that new man wants the word of God more than anything in life. Amen. You just have to relate with me. I mean, when I got born again, I had Bibles all my life. Up to the age of 23, I had Bibles all my life. I was in church most of my life. When I got born again by the Spirit of God, I couldn't put a Bible down. I mean, I just read it all the time. I mean, just, you know, why? Because I was new. I was a babe, and I mean, I was hungry. Hallelujah. I've always been kind of given to appetite. When I got saved, it just moved right over into the spiritual realm, and I wanted to eat more and more and more and more. I never could get full enough of God's word. Still can't. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, you realize the Bible says that, you know, however you yielded your vessel in the old man in sin, now yield yourself unto God in righteousness. Well, I mean, that's what was going on there. I was hungry for the word. Hallelujah. And so we see Psalms 119, 104, next page. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Once again, a reference to God's word. Psalms 119. All these up here are coming out of Psalms 119. 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, how many love it when the electricity goes off in the middle of the night? You can't see anything. And so you finally grab the flashlight, and all of a sudden you turn it on, and you can see where you're headed, where you're going. Now, if you're up in the middle of the night, you know you're probably headed to the refrigerator to get a drink, right? Oh, you can't see anything in the dark. And you may think you know your way through the house in the dark. And we've got a situation that happened in our house in the dark that will never probably be forgotten by my children, my wife at all. Because it was dark. I thought I knew my way through the house. Really, I did. But a door that is always left open was closed. This door, the color of this door was walnut, dark walnut. And, you know, the proverbial, there was a noise. So, you know, who was chosen to go check out the noise? I tried to push Sister Pepper out of the bed, but she wouldn't go. But, you know, no, I got up. I'm headed to check out this noise. And I'm just, I mean, I'm clipping. I'm walking. I was younger then. You know, my feet didn't hurt when I got up, you know. And I mean, I just up. I'm clipping. I'm going. I'm going to see, well, okay, what's going on here? And I'm walking through the kitchen. I'm headed for the back door. And the door in the laundry room was shut, latched. But it just was dark. And so, man, I am barreling, and boom, you gotta be kidding me. And the whole house burst out in laughter, except for me. Who closed the door? Wow. So I said all that. Now, it was not a happy scene for me at all. It was not one of my great moments of patience and kindness either. Told you I was younger. I didn't endure it real well. No, they were having to endure hardness as a good soldier. Woo! And so that's kind of a story of what happens in the darkness. Now, put it to a spiritual connotation. If you're trying to live for God, but you're just walking in darkness, you're going to find yourself in calamity after calamity, peril after peril, until you get the light turned on. Yeah. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. It wasn't that the electricity was off in that situation. I just thought I could do it. And immediately I turned on the light. See, the door, well, I already knew the door was shut, but I actually turned on the light to survey the damage I might have done to the door. I've been known to damage doors too. Praise God. Hallelujah. But see, when the light is to my feet and a light to my path, it's so much better to have a flashlight in the dark so I can see where I'm going. How about you? You like that? Well, spiritually, you got to have the light on. Thy word. His word is that light so we can see where we're really going. Psalms 119:106, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgment. See, it's a choice. You choose. You either choose to do right or you choose to do wrong. It's a choice. So I have sworn. I will perform it. It's kind of like the little chorus we sing. I told the Lord I'd make him a soldier if he wrote my name. And the Lord told me that the world would hate me. And I said, Lord, write my name. I have sworn it. I will perform it. And I will keep thy righteous judgments. Verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Now, this is a different type of scripture here. Because this affliction, the reference, the understanding of this affliction is that the reality is it came from God. And then that's why the statement is, quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Show me the error of my way. Amen. Quicken me. Bring me back to life here, because I realized it's a reality that this affliction has come because the light's grown dim. And to quicken means to bring it back to brightness. Amen. And the way that's done is by his word. Amen. Am I abiding in his word? Am I abiding in him? Am I doing what he wants done? You know. And so we always got to survey. Amen. Because sometimes things come our way to remind us and to reveal to us we've gotten just a little slack. Remember, Sister Pepper said we're not slackers in her teaching last Sunday night. We're pressing forward. You know, we're going on with Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not slackers. We're workers. Amen. Psalms 119:140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. So a serious servant loves God's word because it's pure. In other words, it's the truth. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 5:14. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people would, and it shall devour them. Oh, wow. Now that's a serious God dealing with people that aren't serious servants, but no better. Oh,
praise God.
Hallelujah. And so, Jarrett, once again, like I said, these prophets, a lot of times, their message was not accepted. It was not a happy message because the people had not hearkened to the voice of the Lord thy God, and thus judgment was coming their way. And Jeremiah happened to be one of those prophets that was going to have to proclaim their judgment and not their blessings. And whoa, praise God. And so we see here then, he said, I'm going to make your words like fire, and I'm going to make the people like wood, and the word of God is going to devour them. What's he talking about? In other words, he's not holding anything back from them. What's he doing? He's giving them one more opportunity of repentance. If they'll hear his message this time and let their own will be devoured. Is that not how it was with Jonah and Nineveh? Jonah didn't want to go because he knew God was merciful, and Jonah hated the Ninevites. Yeah, poor Jonah. But he went and preached anyway, and they all repented in sackcloth and ashes. And God spared judgment. So, you know, Jonah didn't want to share the message. This time he didn't want to share it because he knew they'd probably have a possibility to repent, and he'd rather had them destroyed. Ooh. God had to deal with that in Jonah later. You go read the book of Jonah, you'll see it. I mean, he had to deal with Jonah's bad attitude. Yeah, he'll deal with ours too. Praise God. Sometimes he'll use fire, so be careful. Amen. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? So once again, God's word sometimes has to be used in a manner or a way, not by you and me so much, but God will do it in the heart of an individual. You know, I'm not going to stand up here with a hammer and threaten you with a hammer if you don't obey God. It don't work that way. But what God said is, my word is going to be so forceful and so powerful, if you're going to be hard-headed, I'm going to bust it open. Now, that's Oklahoma terminology. God's just trying to let us know it doesn't do any good to be stubborn, rebellious, and kicking against him, because his hammer's bigger than yours. And he's merciful and he's kind and he's long-suffering, so he's just going to keep pecking away at you. Remember in the book of Acts where Jesus talked to Saul of Tarsus, you know, when he fell there, he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. A lot of times that's cell phone interference. Ain't anybody playing on your phone, are you? Okay. Well, that's probably some of those powers of darkness outside. They got a cell phone. They just keep turning it on. That's a joke. I'm sorry. Amen. So, God is going to keep hammering or pecking or pricking or dealing with our hearts. Amen. So his word's like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, having a hard heart. And you know, we want a soft heart. We want a tender heart. We want a yielded heart. In other words, we want God's will in our lives, but yet sometimes God's word then becomes inside of us that hammer pecking away at that one thing that we just don't want to talk about or deal with. And God says, but I want to deal with it. I want to work it out of you. I want to. This is my desire for your life. Hallelujah. So you can have joy, so you can have peace, so you can have power. Ephesians 6:17, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so now God's word is being likened unto a weapon. It's been likened unto fire. It's been likened unto a hammer. Now it's being likened unto a weapon. And it is a weapon for you and I against the enemy. I mean, the whole armor of God, that we can stand against the wiles of the enemy. And so God's word is one of the greatest weapons of our warfare. Now, these other things, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, these are all defense against the fiery darts of the enemy. But God don't want us on the defense all the time. When the enemy comes against us, he wants us to have the defense of the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. But then he wants us to turn around and assault that enemy with the word of God. Oh, hallelujah. You just sometimes got to say, devil, them are fighting words. Woo, hallelujah. When that temptation comes, rise up with the word of God and say, those are fighting words, devil. And here's what God's word says about it. That's what I'm doing. Whoa, praise God. You just won a battle. Amen. With the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So now, Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. So, the word of God can be our weapon. Also, the word of God is his weapon. Hallelujah. Against our flesh. Yeah. Quick. Powerful. Whoa. I don't know. I'm not that much of a fighter, so much to say, but I've read a little information, heard a few things, you know. To the fact, you know, some folks can do the old roundhouse, you know, and there's usually a lot of power in a roundhouse. But I've been told that there's more power in a sudden, quick pop. I don't know that from experience so much as far as fighting or anything like that. But I did have experience on the football field of what a quick, powerful hit can do. It knocks people off their feet. When it's quick and powerful, it means they do not see it coming. But it arrives, pow, it's there. How many times have you been sitting in the house of God and God's word is preached and you're thinking, I didn't see that coming? Whoa. Why? Because it knows what I need even when I don't. God's word, I'm talking like it's alive, but it is. Hallelujah. It's the living word. Christ is the word. The Holy Ghost quickens the word. And you know, it's like a sharp two-edged sword. It's coming to do the job that God wants it to do. Hallelujah. That's why preaching is such a part. Teaching is such a part of the Christian's life, because that's when the word of God comes to do the work. Amen. Hallelujah. It'd either be a blessing or it'd be a sword. I mean, it'd be a hammer. Sometimes it'd be the fire. I mean, it's just wherever we're at, whatever we need, because our hearts are hungry for God, then the Holy Ghost will begin to move and minister just like what I need. Praise God. If I'm needing a little fire to get my attention, then the fire will come. If I'm needing an eye-opening trial of my faith, then it'll be a trial of my faith. And then the sword will be my weapon. But if I'm needing a change in my life, the sword's going to be his weapon. And he's going to begin to make it happen. Hallelujah. So now we're talking, you know, God's word is that sword that he uses to help us. And notice that his word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Everything in God's word will address anything and everything you're going through. It's all in there. It's all in there. You may not be able to find it real quickly. I'm still finding things in God's word that I knew, but wow, I didn't know it like that. And especially when you go into the Old Testament, you see all the things they talk about in the Old Testament, and you're remembering exactly everything they said in the New Testament, and it's like, wow, it's hand in hand. Praise God. That's exciting. That's God's Word. It's just, that's how it was written. Men over thousands of the years, and they all wrote basically about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. And the ways of God. And it all just goes hand in hand. That's God's wonderful Word. Amen. John 12:47-48. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, if we stop right there, some of the individuals say, well, don't judge me. Would use this scripture. We don't judge anybody. It's not what it's all about. It's about preaching the word. Verse 48. And he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So basically, Jesus is saying, here's my word, here's my way. If you want salvation, if you want newness of life, if you want joy, if you want peace, if you want power, if you want the glorious salvation of God, here's how you get it, here's how you keep it. Praise God. You don't want it? Fine, have your own way. But just remember, when you get to the end of your way, you will be judged by my word. See, we got to understand, we don't judge people right now. We preach the gospel. If they want to get saved, live for God, that's wonderful, that's great. They'll have the greatest life they could ever have. But if they don't want to, then we leave them alone. Let them go their own way. Let them do their own thing. Because they're going to be judged in the end by the gospel we shared with them, by the truth we shared with them. Judgment's coming. Something we don't preach a lot anymore, but judgment's coming. I mean, we're not worried about judgment because we're living for the rapture. We're living for God. We're serious about being servants of the Lord, and we're ready when that trumpet blows. That shofar, is that what it's called? That trumpet blows. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, people are gone. Wow. Will it happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye? Well, we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What it says, how fast we depart, I don't know. Not sure on that one. But we're leaving. We're leaving. We don't have to worry about judgment because we've made our hearts ready for the bridegroom. Glory. And we did that by being serious servants of God and having the right attitude towards God's word. Hallelujah. And so we see the word of God's going to judge. The words that we have heard are going to judge us in the last days and in the last time. Hallelujah. And so, you know, the proclaiming of the gospel is, if you want it, here it is. If you don't, have your own way. You're just going to have to face the results thereof, you know. And so that's why, you know, we continue to try to encourage hearts and encourage souls to turn to the Lord and surrender their lives to Jesus Christ, because we know there's a judgment coming. There is a place called hell, and there is a lake of fire. Just as sure as there's a rapture coming and there's a place called heaven, there's a place called hell and torments there, and a lake of fire for final torment. And so we have to choose now which direction and where we want to go. Hallelujah. And 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Amen. So God's word is God's word. regardless of who shares it. You received it as the word of God, even though we spoke it to you. You knew it was God's word to you. That's what he said. God's word is continually coming. I've said it before, I'll say it again. From the time you come into the house of God, God's word is saturating your life. If you make it to Sunday school, then God's word is saturating your life. God's word is coming your way. If you make it into the worship service, God's word is sung about. God is glorified. God is magnified. God is praised. Hallelujah. And everything about God is exalted and lifted up. Glory to God. If we make it to the preaching, then God's word is coming our way. Hallelujah. We make it to the altars. That's where God's word gets hid in our hearts, that we might not sin against God. Oh, hallelujah. See, I mean, we are a God's word saturated church. But it's what we do with God's word and the attitude we have towards it is going to be the changing power factor in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Psalms 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? There's going to be 30 minutes of silence in heaven. The book of Revelation talks about it. 30 minutes of silence. It's going to be just kind of like it was just a moment ago. That it just for that moment, we were all quiet. Can you imagine 30 minutes of silence in heaven where they're praising God continually right now, and all of a sudden God says, okay, everybody get quiet. Oh, that's going to be hard. That's going to be hard. That'd be like we're right in the middle of our worship service. And the power of God's fallen. And all of a sudden we say, all right, quit. Most of you'd look at me like I was crazy if I did that. I really wouldn't want to do that, I'll be honest with you. Not in the midst of God moving in the power. I want to worship. I want to pray. But I wonder why. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. See, silence is kind of like an eerie thing. But God's word's never going to change. God's never going to change. Verse 90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances. For all are thy servants. You realize that's talking about the earth? I don't know whether you've studied it in high school or not, physical science, biology, chemistry, the elements, gravity. Well, we'd be in a sad shape in here tonight if we didn't have any gravity, wouldn't we? Yeah. We'd all be standing on our heads with our feet on the ceiling. That'd be weird. But see, God put it in orbit. God put the gravity. I mean, everything. God did it all. It functions like it's supposed to according to his ordinances. The laws of physics. Everything about God's creation is based on a law. It can't be broken, because if it gets broken, you're talking collapse. Some of that's going to happen in the time of tribulation. God's going to just go ahead and loose the law of why that's where it's at. And calamity. There's going to be an earthquake like never before in the history of mankind. And mountains, there's a mountain in Israel that's going to split apart. A mountain. And Jesus Christ is going to step out on the clouds of glory to come and destroy all the kings of the earth. So God's going to do a little law adjustment. Hallelujah. Just to let the wicked people know and the evil people know, today's the day judgment is coming. Hallelujah. So you got to realize God's got it all under control. That's why we serve Him. That's why we surrender to Him. That's why we're serious about knowing about Him. 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. So God's word is going to endure forever. So we have found that it's our delight. We have found it was inspired by God. It's profitable for everything we're going to need. It comes in different fashions and forms and different ways into our hearts and in our lives, and it will help us overcome. So we've got to have the right attitude that God's word is the absolute final authority of my decisions. Hallelujah. So that I can have the blessing of God, I can have the peace of God, I can have the anointing of God. Amen. Because if I'm not walking according to God's ways, I can't have that anointing. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke of sin. It breaks the yoke of sin in my life, and it will also break the yoke of sin in other lives when that anointing is resting upon our life. And so that's why it's so important. God's word is so important for that servant of the Lord. And now we're going to close Revelation 22, 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Amen. The first interpretation of that scripture is talking about the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation comes at the end of the book, the Bible, God's word. God put it there at the end because it is the end times. And He put it at the end because the very end talking about the whole book. Hallelujah. That's just God. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. We've got to receive it as it is. Amen. And love it, long for it, cling to it, and allow it to direct our lives. Amen. That is a serious servant's attitude toward God's word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Could I have a piano player tonight? Amen. I think I did better tonight. Amen. They were really giving me a hard time about last Sunday night. No, Sunday night before, I guess. Somebody said something about an hour and 25 minutes. I can't believe that. I can't believe that at all. I was shooting for an hour and a half. Praise our God. No, God's word. I mean, it's exciting to me, and I it's just been really, really challenging to me as I've been putting this together. And I don't, you know, this is just God's word about God's word. This is not Brother Pepper's opinions about God's word. This is just God's word about God's word. You'll find that the majority of these serious servant institutes were just, they're just God's word on that topic. And that's how we're gonna grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, is getting the word of God in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Not just letting it come to our ears and run through our minds, but getting it in us. Abiding in it. Loving it. Letting it have its way with me. Amen. The attitude toward God's word. Hallelujah. Could we stand to our feet? Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to our God. Amen.